Good evening, everybody. I'm kind of half asleep again. Good to have you with us tonight. Brother Ronnie is off down toward the coast catching catfish. I'd seen one or two they'd caught on the boat already, so they're probably having a good time. So just me and Lori here tonight, and so we'll open with a word of prayer, and we'll get started with our study for tonight. We're getting pretty close to the end of Acts. We're still in the hurricane mode there. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come this day, Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the honor of opening your holy word and partaking of it. Lord, may it be that we need to learn and glean and to see and to get another little portion of this story that we've been involved with the Apostle Paul as he gets on his journey toward Rome. And Lord, we just ask that you would be with us and lead, guide, and direct us and watch over us and remember those that were on our prayer list. Lord, I don't have them with me, but you know who they are. And Lord, we just ask for that you would help them in their time of need, whatever the need might be. Lead, guide, and bless now as we open your word. Christ's name we ask you. The Lord bless you. Thank you for all you do. Amen. Okay. So, let's go back to the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. I believe the study for today is June the 18th, 2025. I think that's right. And we're going to go back to verses 20 and 21. We're going to pick back up there, then we'll go on. But I'm going to read you Acts 27, 20 and 21. Well, I'll just go back to 19 because there's not much on 19 that, other than information. And information out of God's Word is really good, so we can certainly realize and understand why it's there. And it says, in the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. So they had already started getting ready to abandon the ship that they were on and had been on for a while and are going to be on it a little while longer because we got about 14 more days here that we're going to talk about now. And so they've already been on it for a little while, but And this is what Paul's going to talk to them about in these next two verses. And it says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. So, again, Paul is admonishing them like he did whenever they were out on the ocean. And the Day of Atonement come up, and he admonished them then because they wasn't any way that those could take on the Day of Atonement because they were really busy with this storm. Then we get to verse 22, and this is where our study starts for this day. And chapter 27. And I'll do like I've been doing. I'll just read it out of the King James Version, and we'll go back and read my notes. So he has already told them that, well, you should have listened to me. So maybe that'll carry on into this study. And they'll look toward Paul like he's not a stupid person, or like he's not overplaying his role here, because that he really didn't take him at his word, and he told them not to leave from Crete, but they did anyway. So he got into all this mess that we're going to read about tonight because they didn't heed what Paul had said. Whether they wanted to accept it or not, that's just the way it was. So 22 says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship." So Paul is telling them again, he's giving them a little more information. So I'm sure they were headed in their mind saying, "Well, where's he getting all this information at? I've been on the boat with him the whole time, or the ship." And now let's read in my notes, and it says, "And now," and now is pointing basically as to the present or present time. And he says, "I, Paul, exhort," and that is to admonish there, because it had been used before in the book of Acts, and it was done, as I said before, it was done while they were on board the ship, because it was a mild rebuke or a reprimand to these people to say, "Well, you got to remember where you are. You got to remember where your help's coming from." So even if you weren't able to be there for your atonement, at least you could pray to your Father that you still need help. And it says you are to be of good cheer, and good cheer there is now, it's a full stop there, and the good cheer there in the Greek is euthumo. It said, "For there shall be no loss." And that means, the no loss there means to be casted away. And the Greek word for that is apoboli. Of any man's life, there's going to be no casting away of any man's loss. Paul says, if you stay with the ship, you're going to be all right, okay? And it says, any man's life among you. But there is the word except, but of the ship, which really gives you to understand that Paul knew that the ship was still in peril. The people's lives wasn't in peril if they stayed with the ship. But the ship's a different thing. Okay? So we get down to verse 23. And I'll read it out of the King James again. It says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve." So Paul says this angel is from God, and this God is who I serve. And who I am. I'm a spokesman, basically, too, as far as that goes. Because it says in my notes, "For there stood by me," and then and that Greek word that stood by there is in the Greek is parestomy. And this night. And it said the angel or an angel of God. So the angel was sent, according to Paul, was sent by God for the answer evidently to a prayer that he has been praying to God, because Paul is pretty much constantly in prayer all his life. And if you don't get that in his last seven epistles in Scripture, then you missed a beautiful thing, because Paul says, "I pray constantly." It's almost like he's either in prayer or he's doing something for the will of God all the time. Because that's what he was chosen for when he was struck down on Damascus Road, to be a spokesman and a witness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Whose I am." Well, he knew whose he was. He was connected to the Godhead in a specific way. And he says, "And whom I serve." So he knew who he was dealing with. And he knew how to serve him, what it took to serve God in the capacity that he had been chosen for. So we get to verse 24. And it's a continuation of these things. In 24, the word there is saying. So this is what the angel told Paul. This is, I put a little different deal around it. These are not the little things you use to say this is the comment of this person, but the angel says this: "Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." So Paul is making a statement right there. Okay? These guys might be trying to control the boat, but I'm telling you what you need to do now, at this time, because the angel of the Lord has told me what to tell you. And because you're here, and I'm here, that you're here because I'm here, because I have been compelled to be sent to Caesar. And so these people are here to take me there, and you're part of it. Now, we haven't talked about any soldiers yet. We just, after he got on this boat going to Rome, and this centurion, he is a man over 100 soldiers. I don't know how many he's got with him, but I'll tell you one thing. That when the back when Paul was having problems and all this stuff started after he was seen in the temple by somebody that had seen him in Asia when he was over there, and he had pointed him out to these people. Yeah, I seen him over there, and now I see him in the temple with these other guys. And he didn't know who they were, but now he got a shipload of these people that are with him. But before that, when the guy had seen him and all this ruckus got started up, none of these people knew what to tell each other what to do for Paul or about Paul. You know, the chief centurion, he was over 1,000 people over there between Jerusalem and the temple, which is about 7 miles apart. And that's when all the ruckus started up. But he had a big group of people over there. And when he got ready to send him on down to Caesarea, he left at night after about the time they had locked the gate, closed the gates of the city. And they had 300 and something people carrying one man, taking Paul down to Caesarea. Now, that centurion, of course, he knew that they were after Paul because Paul's nephew had told the centurion that, yeah, they were lying in wait for my Uncle Paul. And so he told the young guy, don't tell nobody else, this is mine and your secret. So he took all these people and a horseman and some walking, and they went about 70 miles down to Caesarea. And it took them more than one night to get there. They couldn't all go that far in one night. And so it wouldn't surprise me if some of these numbers on this ship were soldiers that this centurion had. When he probably got on that ship with Paul and Luke and the other guy, they thought that the people with Paul were his servants, but he probably had 100 men with him. We'll find out later on because it does say how many was aboard the ship somewhere. But it says, fear not, Paul. Thou should be brought to stand before Caesar. And lo, God hath given or granted them all that sail with thee. So this is what the angel told Paul, said, you know, because you're here, they're here. And so, like Paul, it's your duty to help keep them safe, even though you're the prisoner. Now, that's the way God looks at things, because if he uses somebody for a special need or a special service or call for a special something to be done, then he gives them authority to do these things, or that nobody will really buck him on it, because that they was in a situation that they didn't need anything else there to take their mind off of what the situation is. They're in dire straits. Okay. So we get down to verse 25. So they all now realize what Paul has said, that they're they've been given me because I'm here and I've got to go to Caesar. So that's going to happen. If God wills it, it's going to happen. Verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, it says, be of good cheer, full stop. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So Paul don't have any doubt in his mind about the angel of God speaking for God. That doesn't enter his mind because he knows what the angel's job is. He knows what his job is now. So here we go. It says, Paul. Now, the angel is not speaking anymore. This is Paul talking. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, full stop. For I believe, and that word believe in the Greek is pistio. I believe God that it shall be even as, or literally, this according to kata is equals the manner in which it was spoken unto me. So Paul says, I hadn't changed anything. I've told you what the angel said. I've told you why you're here. I've told you why I'm here. And I believe that God can do what it is that needs to be done to get me to Caesar. Well, he did. We know that he did, but this is just part of the ongoing study. And he says in verse 26, howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. So Paul is still talking here. Paul says, we're going to be put on a certain island. So evidently, he hasn't told them all that the angel had told him, because he goes on and makes another addition to this in 26. But, or how be it, is but. He said, we must be cast, and cast there in the Greek, is ek pipto. Anything, any adverb or adjective that starts with the tense ek, and ek is ek, and it means out of or out from. So when you're talking about out of, it's going to be the ship. They're going to be cast out of the ship upon a particular island that they don't know where it's at. They're not there yet. And it's the Greek word ek pipto. So anytime you see a Greek word in these notes or in the scripture that starts with ek, immediately that should come to your mind, that out of or out from. That's just like the ek anastasia. That was an out resurrection, or out from the rest of the dead ones. Because everybody is not going to be resurrected at one time. So that ek means out of among the rest of the dead. That's what Paul wanted. He wanted a resurrection like Christ had. He wanted to have life again and have it as quick as he could get it. verse 27. Now, for the numbering here, to be cast on an island, and these words of Paul came direct from the angel of God. And I felt like I needed to add that to the notes, because when you add the but or the but now to it, it means that you're carrying on the conversation. And Paul was big on the but now situation. And that's one thing that I've always liked about his wording of things. Okay. And I think this was said by, this needed to be said by there. The island, the Greek island, I guess, has been added here by the people that put it in the notes. But the Greek word for the island was Nisos, N-E-S-O-S, Nisos. And I made myself a little notation in my thing here in verse 27. I'm going to read 27, and then I'll go back to that. It says, but when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adra, about midnight, the shipmen named that they drew near to some country. Full stop. Well, what about the non-believers? Would they have asked Paul, maybe, Paul, why is it taking so long to get there? Okay. But when the 14th night was come, they've already been in this thing for about a week, which would make it about 20 or 21 days. And this is during the month of October. This is during the month of Atonement for the Jewish people anyway. I don't know if there were any Jewish people on here or not, but they might have been. But if they were, they were under Paul's, kind of his tutelage here. So I guess I would have probably maybe have asked the same question after 14 more nights, and they've already been there for a while. Paul told them not to leave, but they did leave anyway. He said, we were driven up and down. And in the Greek word driven here is diaphoreo, and it means to carry hither and thither, meaning they couldn't go in a straight course. They was going one way and then going, and the wind was blowing them, and then they put it back in line again, and they were being drifting along at an angle other than where they wanted to go. So they would go at an angle, and then the wind would straighten the boat back around, and then they'd have to take up for that wind push, and they'd have to set it again going at about 7 degrees above that, because that's the way they had learned how to sail when they was in bad weather. And hither and thither. In Paul's days, this term includes the part of the Mediterranean lying south of Italy, east of Sicily and west of Greece. Now, there was another note in here that I had some problem with. And it was a note from Josephus. And so Josephus wasn't on this boat with Paul, I don't think. Because it says Josephus was on board a ship which foundered in the Adriatic Sea, and he was picked up and was picked up by a ship of Cyrene, which landed him at Puteoli. So, I don't know how he got there. I don't know where he was going. But I don't think he was in Paul's crowd, because I'm not sure that Paul ever met Josephus in person. And this may have been written, this note may have been written years later. Who knows, you know, so. But it says about midnight, the shipman or seaman, and their name is not their name, but they were called Maltese. My notes, I can't read it good. But they were supposing or thinking that they drew close to some country, that they were drawing near to them. And in the Greek, the word is prosolo, was the country, full stop. And so, they sounded, I guess that was the word I was looking for. And it said in verse 28, they sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. That was about an hour later. They were still being pushed by the wind. Now, how far they could go in an hour being pushed by this wind, I don't have a clue. But I do know, I don't know how they did the sounding. I don't know how they come to the conclusion that that was the depth that maybe they had dropped something in on a rope and they had it marked off in fathoms to where they could feel it bump or hear it bump or something. I don't know. I could not find that in the stuff that I had here in the notes. But that's what it said. They had gone a little further and sounded again, and it was 15 fathoms. And a fathom was around 6 feet. Now, I think there's a little speculation to this, but anyway, they went from 120 fathoms, which would have been 120 feet, and an hour later, the ship was getting closer to the bottom, and they was afraid it was going to hit the rocks, and it's just going to bust wide open, which it finally did, but they didn't want it to do that right then. And having sounded, And that having sent it there in the Greek is boazio, and found it 20 fathoms. And I looked it up and he said, a fathom is about 6 feet. And when they had gone a little further, or about an hour, they sounded again, and it was 15 fathoms, which would have been 90 feet. Well, you would think 90 feet of water is pretty deep. But this was a pretty big ship for its day. And I looked on, I remembered somewhere in there reading about how many people it was aboard the ship. And I'm going to take a guess because I looked for it a while ago before we started, and I couldn't find it, but it's there between here and the end of the book of Acts somewhere. And I think it was about 278 people was on that ship, plus it's corn, loaded with corn, and plus they had some kind of accommodations for these people, or should have had, but they might have been kind of living upon the corn. I don't know if they had it shucked or if it was in boxes or, you know, or in something that they could get out, but I'm not sure how it was. But let's just read verse 29. After they had found that it was 15 fathoms deep, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast their anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Well, they cast their anchors out behind the ship, hoping, I guess, that the rock, anchors would hold them. When they got the anchors got to the rock, that the rock would hold them and keep them in place for a little while, so they could kind of make a determination as to where they were going to be. And it was getting close to morning by this time, and so let me read my notes. It said, then fearing, peradventure, lest we should have fallen upon rocks. They were in a precarious place. They cast out 4 anchors out of the stern, or this was in the back of the boat, aft. And after an hour intervened and wished for the day. It means they were hoping to get some light where they could see where they were at and to have a maybe a way of finding at least where the sun was coming up at, to realize where they were, what position they were in. And because it said it, they had gone for 14 days without sun or stars. So then they didn't have nothing to go by as to how they were going. And they were just kind of riding with the ship because that's the only thing they could do. They were in dire straits. Now we get to verse 30. And see, a lot of these verses don't have a lot of information to them, but they felt it was needed to for us, even all these years later, to realize the situation that they were in. And so Paul's life with the Lord and having been called by the Lord was not an easy journey, no matter where he was. Somebody was after him all the time, seemed like, or that he was in jail or in prison. And he had written some of this stuff while Festus was holding him up for the 2 years until King Agrippa come there. Then when King Agrippa come there and found out that he had appealed to Caesar, so they went immediately finding a way to get him on the ship to go to Caesar, because you don't hold a king up much when he's wanting something done. And of course, these kings, they had names for some of these people in their group, and some of them were called lords, some of them were called earls, some of them were called barons, some of them were called sirs. If you had been knighted, you were a sir, and all these things. And usually, when those things happened to somebody that was close to a king, then that was a lifetime honor for you. And with my cousin that was from Scotland, he was the Earl of Argyll, which was a area in Scotland, and that's where the sheep that grew this wool, this special wool, come from. But there was an area in Scotland there that he was the Earl of. He was like maybe a magistrate type thing, or somebody that would have influence on the rest of the people in his area, like a township or something. And he was the one that King James put to death. And his name, I found out, was Archibald Campbell, like the Campbell soup people. And I was telling this lady about it, and we were talking scripture, and she said, "Oh," said, "he was a Scot." I said, "Yes, ma'am." And I had not told her that was where he was from. But now, that's just a little side note for you. It doesn't have anything to do with this, but let's go to 31. We got done with 30, didn't we? No, we didn't get done with 30. Got done with 29. They cast anchors. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat or the skiff into the sea, under colors as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. Well, they looked around and they said, "Well, if we're going to cast the anchors out, we need to change it. We need to put the anchors out in front now instead of the back. We got anchors out in the back of the ship, but evidently where they're going to land at is in front of the ship." And so, whenever they talked about colors there, then it was a ship from Egypt. And so they probably furled the Egyptian ship on top of the skiff, or we would call a shore boat. And it said, "And as the shipmen or the crew, were about to flee out of the ship when they had let down the boat into the sea under colors. Even though they were still in the storm, they hoisted a little so if somebody come by and seen them, they would know where they were, you know, what scoop was, what was going on. And I thought that was kind of unusual. Under colors, by pretense. It means that they did it for show, in case somebody come along to help them. In the Greek word for pretense is prophasis, as they would have cast anchors or about to out of the foreship. It was almost like, well, we would like to have somebody to come by and help us, but if they see what kind of shape we're in, they think we'd be crazy for the way that we done things, but they couldn't help themselves. That's the way I looked at that. Okay, then we get to verse 31. And Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, okay, we've made all this trip here and we have not mentioned the word soldiers. The centurion, yeah. Now he's got soldiers with him. Well, we know they came along when he came along because they had no way of getting on the ship otherwise. So he had the soldiers with him just in case, and they had other prisoners. And just in case some of them other prisoners decided to jump ship, then they would have had to take the soldier's place. That was the way it was in those days. If you let a prisoner get away, then you were responsible for him. So this was verse 31. Let me read it. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide, and that word abide there is the Greek word meno. If not, if they didn't abide in the ship, it says you cannot be saved. This was Paul's word to them. He said, if you don't do what I told you, that God had told me to tell you, then I'm not responsible for you. You've taken this on your own. And he said, you can't be saved. He couldn't guarantee that God would take care of them because they were probably, I don't know if they were Greeks or well, I guess they were because the sailors were probably Egyptians because they were part of the guy that owned the ship, but he was an Egyptian because this was where they went and got their loads of food and were carrying it to these other countries. Okay. Verse 31. Or 32. Verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the rope of the boat and let her fall off. So They said, well, if we got to stay with the ship, we got to stay with the ship. All right, we got this boat on here, and cut the rope, let her go. Well, it seems like they've gained a little confidence in Paul. That, you know, he says, boys, you got to stay with the ship. If you don't stay with the ship, I can't help you, and maybe God won't help you, because you're here because I'm here. And so, yep, they had a little boat there, but it wouldn't hold but just 3, 4, 5 people. That one. And so the soldiers, it wasn't the seamen, it was the soldiers that cut the thing, because they were the one responsible for the rest of the prisoners. Paul was just one of the prisoners. It don't say how many others of them were prisoners. But see, so if Paul had gotten away and decided not to go to Cedar and took his leisure and went some other direction, then, and these soldiers would have made it, then they would have been held accountable. So the soldiers cut the rope. Said, we're going to be with you. If that's what you said, this is what we're going to do. Okay, verse 33. We're getting pretty close to the end of what I've got worked for today. So 33 says this. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. So the last time they had something to eat was when they loosened in Crete and started the journey on over, that Paul said, don't go, boys. We can't do this. Oh, yeah, it's pretty calm now. We can go on. And so they hadn't eaten anything, because it was all hands on board, all hands on deck. They had things to do that they had to do to keep the ship going. And this wasn't one of your little sailing jokes that you were out having fun on. This was a life, could be a life-taking situation. So, and it says, and while the day was coming on, the daylight hours came, Paul besought there was, EUTD was
entreating
to call aside, because that Greek word to call aside there is parakaleo, them all, to take meat. So Paul was begging them to eat something. I don't know what they had to eat, but evidently there was food there that they hadn't touched yet. Food or nourishment was the word there. And food or nourishment in the Greek word is the word trophy. Like, you won a trophy. T-R-O-P-H-E, trophy. And that's food or nourishment. That's something that you take in, like you're going to use it for yourself. Okay? Saying, this day is the 14th day
that ye have tarried without eating or non-eating. And non-eating there is the Greek, is prosodoko. Prosodokeo. Okay. Prosodokeo. And continued fasting. And the word fasting in the Greek is diatizeo, means fasting without food. And without food there in the Greek is asitos, A-S-I-T-O-S, asitos, having taken nothing. And nothing there in the Greek is the word Greek, in the Greek is proslambano. Proslambano. And then we get down to verse 34. And this is where we're going to stop for today, because it's, we're about out of notes and about out of time. It says, wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Now that's being pretty confident, being really confident, Paul was, of what God could do for a person. And that's the reason that in the temple, where the table was set with the showbread and all the things that they use in the Holy of Holies, that there is something there that denotes that if you need something and you're a person that has made a vow to God, that's where help is. And so, I'm not sure how many of these guys prayed on their trip, but they really probably did, most of them, because this was not a joyful trip. It says, wherefore I prayed or besought you to take some meat or food. It goes back to the food, the word trophy. For this is for your health, full stop. Meaning that if you were going to die, there wouldn't be no need to eat anything else anyway. But here it gives us the understanding that Paul knew that if they did what he said to do, they would be okay. But they had to stay with the boat until all of them left together. It says, for there shall not an hair, not one, from thy head of any of you. So they wasn't going to lose a hair off their head. Woo! What about that? And I thought that was a good place to quit, and it was, because our time is right on the money. And gotten pretty good at that over the years, I guess. We'll call that the last verse for the day. And we'll thank God for the reading of His Word. And we'll close and wait till the next time that we have the opportunity. So bow with me again. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come again, and what we've read and what we realize, that not only the Apostle Paul, but the many that were with him were in dire straits for a very long time, probably before Crete and then after Crete, and the 14 days till we get to here is probably 21 days in the month of October. And it's in the middle of the Euclidean system, and that is what we call hurricane season. And this is where our hurricanes usually come from, in America. And Lord, we realize that the damage they can do whenever they strike land here. And Lord, an old wooden ship out on the ocean with all these people in there. And Lord, with a minimal amount of things they could do to help themselves, you provided not only a way for them to understand what they needed to do, but a way for them to be saved by the hand of God. And what the angel said was truth. And what Paul knew to be truth, because Paul knew from whence it came. It came from God. And the provider was the angel. And Lord, as we continue this in the next study, we can probably wind up with this part of the journey of Paul going to Rome. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the insight into this, that we might be able to provide it in a story form. Lord, and I know people sometimes don't like to think about story forms, but all of your word are story forms. They just happen with different people in different times and different places. But Lord, the people you call and give them a job to do, they have the wherewith to do it. And we need to be cognizant of that, because we need to understand that what God gives us to do, He gives us the ability to do it, the know-how, the learning, the knowledge, and the wisdom, and what it takes to get it done. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you for the reading of the Word this hour. And God, may you bless us until we are able to meet again, and to take up your word again and to do that you'd have us to do. God bless us, our prayer this day. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.